Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Golder, and today we're Zechus Menachos Daf Tzadiches, 11th Parak, Shtei Lechem. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a Mishnah teaches that an image of Shushan Abira was drawn upon the eastern gate of the second base of Migdash. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi debated its purpose. One said it was Kedei Sheyedu Meheichem Bo, so they should know from where they came and properly thank the king of Persia. One said it was Kedei Shetei Emos Malchus Alehen, so that the awe of the rulership of Persia should be upon them, and they would not rebel against them. Rabbi Yanai said, Lohum Tei Emos Malchus Alecho, the awe of the rulership should always be upon you. As Moshe told Paro, V'yardu Kol Abedecha Ela Elai, V'shtachavu Li Lemor, and all these servants would come down to me and bow before me, saying, but he didn't say that Paro himself would come bow before him, although he would do so out of respect for royalty. Rabbi Yochanan derives it from a pasuk describing Eliyahu running a great distance before the wicked king Achav, so he should not travel unescorted. Point number two, a braisa teaches that all the kelim in the Mikdash replace Arkon la'Archo shel Bayis with their length along the sanctuary's length, meaning in an east-west direction, except for the Aron, which stood in a north-south direction. The Gemara proceeds to demonstrate that the Aron's poles extended eastward to protrude from the parochas and were attached to its width, proving that the Aron must have been placed in a north-south direction. A braisa teaches that Shlomo made the 10 shulchanos of the base of Migdash, 5 to the right of Moshe's and 5 to its left. All were required to be in the northern half of the Heichal, and they were placed from the halfway point of the Heichal and inward. In another braisa, Rebbe says, Mizrach u'Ma'arav ha'yimunachim. They were placed lengthwise from east to west, and Rabbi Elazar bar Rav Shimon says they were placed from north to south. Later, the Gemara poses several challenges to the second opinion, and eventually proves that the shulchanos were not arranged in a single row running north-south, but in two rows. And point number three, the Gemara explains that Rebbe derives his opinion from the menorah, which was also placed east to west. He proves this from the Ner Ma'aravi, the western lamp, which the Pasuk describes as Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, which implies that the other Neros are not Lifnei Hashem, meaning they are further from the Kodesh HaKadoshim than the Ner Ma'aravi. If the menorah was placed north to south, the Neros would be equidistant from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, the menorah must have been placed from east to west, and the westernmost Ner was Lifnei Hashem. Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon derives that the shulchanos were placed from north to south from the Aron, but Rebbe holds we derive chutz mechutz, outside kelim, from other outside kelim, meaning the shulchanos from the menorah, not from the Aron, which is bifnim. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon holds that the menorah itself was placed north to south. He explains that the Ner Ma'aravi was called Lifnei Hashem because mitzadedhu atzdudi, the outer Ner's wicks were turned towards the center Ner, and only the center Ner was turned towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim and was therefore called Lifnei Hashem. Rabbi Nassin said, Mikan she'em sai mishubach. From here we see that the middle is praiseworthy. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a Mishnah teaches that an image of Shushan Abir was drawn upon the eastern gate of the second base of Migdash. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi debated its purpose. One said it was Kedei Sheyedu Meheichem Bo, so they should know from where they came and properly thank the king of Persia. One said it was Kedei Shetei Emos Malchus Alehen, so that the awe of the rulership of Persia should be upon them and they would not rebel against them. Rabbi Yanai said, Lohum Tei Emos Malchus Alecho, the awe of the rulership should always be upon you. As Moshe told Paro, V'yardu Kol Abedecha Ela Elai, V'shtachavu Li Lemor, and all these servants would come down to me and bow before me, saying, but he didn't say that Paro himself would come bow before him, although he would do so out of respect for royalty. Rabbi Yochanan derives it from a pasuk describing Eliyahu running a great distance before the wicked king Achav, so he should not travel unescorted. Point number two, a braisa teaches that all the kelim in the Mikdash replace Arkon la'Archo shel Bayis with their length along the sanctuary's length, meaning in an east-west direction, except for the Aron, which stood in a north-south direction. The Gemara proceeds to demonstrate that the Aron's poles extended eastward to protrude from the parochas and were attached to its width, proving that the Aron must have been placed in a north-south direction. A braisa teaches that Shlomo made the 10 shulchanos of the base of Migdash, 5 to the right of Moshe's and 5 to its left. All were required to be in the northern half of the Heichal, and they were placed from the halfway point of the Heichal and inward. In another braisa, Rebbe says, Mizrach u'Ma'arav ha'yimunachim. They were placed lengthwise from east to west, and Rabbi Elazar bar Rav Shimon says they were placed from north to south. Later, the Gemara poses several challenges to the second opinion, and eventually proves that the shulchanos were not arranged in a single row running north-south, but in two rows. And point number three, the Gemara explains that Rebbe derives his opinion from the menorah, which was also placed east to west. He proves this from the Ner Ma'aravi, the western lamp, which the Pasuk describes as Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, which implies that the other Neros are not Lifnei Hashem, meaning they are further from the Kodesh HaKadoshim than the Ner Ma'aravi. If the menorah was placed north to south, the Neros would be equidistant from the Kodesh Kodashim. Therefore, the menorah must have been placed from east to west, and the westernmost Ner was Livnei Hashem. Rabbi Rebbe Shimon derives that the Shulchanos were placed from north to south from the Aron, but Rebbe holds we derive Chutz Mechutz, outside Kelim, from other outside Kelim, meaning the Shulchanos from the menorah, not from the Aron, which is Bifnim. Rabbi Shimon holds that the menorah itself was placed north to south. He explains that the Ner Maravi was called Livnei Hashem because Mitzadedhu Adstudi, the outer Ner's wicks were turned towards the center Ner, and only the center Ner was turned towards the Kodesh Kodashim and was therefore called Livnei Hashem. Rabbi Nassin said, Mikan Shem Sai Mushubach. From here we see that the middle is praiseworthy. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tzadiches, and our standard Siman relates to schok, laughter, and we use a clown for the Siman, a clown. So here goes. Inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushana Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, while a third clown was having trouble lighting a long wick on the central shaft of the menorah, which faced the west. Once again, slow motion. Inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns. Clowns? That must be on Daf Tzadiches. Tzchok. Inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, which reminds us, the Mishnah teaches that an image of Shushan Abira was drawn upon the eastern gate of the second base of Migdash. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Rav Dimi debate its purpose. One said it was Kadesh Shiyedu Mehechem Bo, so they should know from where they came and properly thank the king of Persia. One said it was Kadesh Shetei Emus Malchus Alehem, so that the awe of the rulership of Persia should be upon them and they would not rebel against them. So inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the orientation of the Kelim in the Migdash, and there's Malchus about the 10 Shulchanos of Shlomo HaMelech, whether they were placed east to west or north to south. So inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, while a third clown was having trouble lighting a long wick on the central shaft of the menorah, which faced the west, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the orientation of the menorah and the identity of the Ner Maravi. So once again, inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, while a third clown was having trouble lighting a long wick on the central shaft of the menorah, which faced the west. All right, so now it's time for our four blah back Chazara. Daf Tzadi Dod. So the Siman Daf Tzadi Dod is a hunter based on Tzad. So here goes. Well, one hunter. That must be on Daf Tzadi Dod. Well, one hunter did tenufa of an animal on behalf of himself and his hunting partners, while they lined up to each do smicha on the sheep they caught, which reminds us, the next Mishnah compares the relative chumras of smicha and tenufa. The chumra of smicha is, she'echod meinif oko achovrim, that one owner can wave a carbon for all partners, ve'ein echod somech oko achovrim, but one cannot lean on the carbon for all partners. The chumra of tenufa is that it's performed even on korbanos tzibor, even on shechted korbanos, and on non-living items such as the lachmei toda, in contrast to smicha. A brisa darshan's carbon note, his sacrifice, l'rabos kol bayi carbon l'smicha, to include all owners of a carbon for smicha. So while one hunter did tenufa of an animal on behalf of himself and his hunting partners, while they lined up to each do smicha on the sheep they caught, the camp cook used three metal molds to bake breads, which reminds us there were three tfusim, three molds for the lechem apanim. So while one hunter did tenufa of an animal on behalf of himself and his hunting partners, while they lined up to each do smicha on the sheep they caught, the camp cook used three metal molds to bake breads that looked like open boxes and fast ships, which reminds us there's a machlokas of the lechem apanim was shaped like a teva prutza, an open box, or a sfina roketas, a fast ship. Daf Tzadi Hei, so the similar Daf Tzadi Hei is a tzahal tank commander. So here goes. The tank commander, that must be on Daf Tzadi Hei, Tzahal, tank commander. The tank commander who instructed a battalion of tanks to escort the Shulchan with a lechem apanim on it while they travel with the Mishkan so no one should remove the breads and parcel them. Beyotze, which reminds us, Amoraim asked, lechem apanim nipsal b'masos or enu nipsal b'masos? Did the lechem apanim become invalidated through Yotze leaving during the journeys in the Midbar when the Mishkan was dismantled, or did it not become invalidated during the journeys? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi discussed this topic. One of them said it becomes possible and the other said it does not. The Gemara concludes that there is no argument. One of more is discussing where the lechem was arranged on the Shulchan and therefore valid, and the other was discussing where the lechem was removed and therefore apostle. So the tank commander who instructed a battalion of tanks to escort the Shulchan with the Lechem Panim on it while they traveled with the Mishkan so no one should remove the breads and parcel them, Beyotze, and another battalion to guard the camp so no Zav or Matzor would enter where they shouldn't, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses sending Zavim and Mitzrayim out of the Machanos when the Mishkan was dismantled during Masaos. So the tank commander who instructed a battalion of tanks to escort the Shulchan with a Lechem Panim on it while they traveled with the Mishkan so no one should remove the breads and parcel them, Beyotze, and another battalion to guard the camp so no Zav or Matzor would enter where they shouldn't, sent scouts ahead to prepare a place to knead and shape the Lechem Panim, but told them to wait for the baking until they were inside the Azar, which reminds us, in the next mission, the Tanakhama says about the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim, that Lishasan v'arichasan b'chutz, that their kneading and their shaping may be performed outside the Azara, but their baking must be inside the Azara. Veinin dochas haShabbos, and their baking does not override Shabbos, rather, they must be baked beforehand. Rav Yehuda says, kol ma'aseh bifnim, all their preparatory activities must be performed inside the Azara. Daf Tzadi Vav. So the Simur Daf Tzadi Vav is a royal herald proclaiming the king's decrees. So here goes. The royal herald. That must be more on Daf Tzadi Vav. The royal herald proclaiming the king's decrees. The royal herald loudly proclaimed the simon, Zadad Yahaz, to teach the measurements of the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim, which reminds us, the next mission states that the Shtei Lechem were 7 tefachim long and 4 tefachim wide, with horns of dough 4 etzbaos long. The Lechem Apanim were 10 tefachim by 5, with horns 7 etzbaos long. Rav Yehuda provided a simon to remember these dimensions, Zadad Yahaz. So the royal herald loudly proclaimed the simon, Zadad Yahaz, to teach the measurements of the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim, while pointing to the miskeres of the model of the Shulchan, which is below the tabletop, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlok as if the miskeres, the frame of the Shulchan, was lamata or lamala, the tabletop. So the royal herald loudly proclaimed the simon, Zadad Yahaz, to teach the measurements of the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim, while pointing to the miskeres of the model of the Shulchan, which was below the tabletop. As the king's servants lifted the Shulchan to proudly display that the Lechem Apanim miraculously stayed fresh the entire week. Which reminds us that the Gemara teaches that they would lift the Shulchan before those who came to the base of Migdash on the Regalim and display the Lechem on it, saying, Ruhi Baschem lifnei Hamakom, see your belovedness before Hashem. This follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement, Neis gadol nasa b'lechem apanim, a great miracle occurred with the lechem apanim, that during its removal it was as hot and fresh as during its arrangement a week earlier. Daf Tzadi Zayin. So the Simur Daf Tzadi Zayin is a chess master. So here goes. The eccentric chess master's guess, chess master, that must mean we're on Daf Tzadi Zayin, chess. The eccentric chess master's guest, who ate at his table giving the chess master a kapara, just like the mizbeach, which reminds us, the Gemara asks that the pasuk begins with the term mizbeach and concludes with the word shulchan, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar explain, b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam, during the time when the base of mikdash stood, mizbeach mechapra adam, the mizbeach would atone for a person, v'akshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, but now that the base of mikdash is not standing, shulchanu shel adam mechapra alav, a person's table atones for him through the mitzvah of providing for guests. So the eccentric chess master's guest, who ate at his table giving the chess master a kapara, just like the mizbeach, was impressed that the chess master removed the rods on his elaborate shulchan chess set used to keep the pieces separate before Shabbos, which reminds us that we learned that the arrangement and the removal of the kanim supporting the lechem apanim are not docha Shabbos. So the eccentric chess master's guest, who ate at his table giving the chess master a kapara, just like the mizbeach, was impressed that the chess master removed the rods on his elaborate shulchan chess set used to keep the pieces separate before Shabbos, and that the width of his one amah table was exactly 5 tefachim, like all kelim were, not like the amos of the mikdash structure, which were 6 tefachim, which reminds us, Reb Meir says that all the amos of the mikdash were beinonios, medium amos of 6 tefachim, except for the amos of the mizbeach hazahav and of the keren sovev and yesod of the mizbeach hachitzon, which were 5 tefachim each. Reb Yehuda says all amos of the mikdash structure were 6 tefachim, while those of the kelim, including the shulchan, were 5 tefachim. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we machlokes if the sira avodas kochavim requires smicha? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have a machlokes if a yoresh performs smicha and makes tamura? That's on daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss which amos in the mikdash were 5 tefachim and which were 6? That's on daf Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number four. Which stuff do you discuss the orientation of the moon? Which stuff do we discuss the orientation of the menorah and the identity of their ner ma'aravi? That's on daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number five. Which stuff do we discuss whether the lechem apanim becomes pasul during the masa'os, the journeys in the midbar? That's on daf. Tzadihe. Good. Number six. Which daf do we learn that the arrangement and removal of the kanim supporting the lechem apanim are not docher Shabbos? That's on daf. Design. Good. Number seven. Which daf do you discuss the orientation of the kelim in the mikdash? And we have a machlokes about the ten shulchanos of Shlomo Melech. That's on daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we learn that smicha is shiari mitzvah and is not ma'akev kapara? That's on daf. Tzadigimel. Good. Number nine. Which daf did the second base of mikdash had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate? That's on daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss which preparations of the Shtei Alechem and the Alechem upon him took place bifnim? That's on daf. Tzadihei. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.